Get to what Nate Taylor told us earlier today in the show. If you missed it, go to the Odyssey app. Find the segment that says Nate Taylor. Click on it. And then listen to the whole show. And then tell a bunch of your friends about the whole show. We'd love that. But hey, Mac, 14 years ago, the most iconic thing in the world might have happened on this day.
Okay.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
Scott Dennis, that is why I did another five. Are you kidding me? That's right. Who do you think you are? I am. David Wright.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's go.
Who do you think you are? I am.
What?
What is that?
A strike to claim it. A strike to claim it.
Oh, man. That's legend. Bowling became a thing that day. And then, what was that guy's name? Ernie McCracken?
No.
Pete Weber.
Oh, Pete Weber.
You're thinking of Roy Munson. By the way, the name's Roy, not Boy. That's Kingpin.
Okay.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah. Such a good movie.
Not that bad.
Oh, my God. Did not think that was what was coming. But yeah, it's, man, what a great movie that is.
Such a fun movie.
But now, yeah, that's the, 14 years ago today, he dropped that epic, who do you think you are? I am. And then about 4 years ago, we got this.
Who's the man of the day? I am. You guessed it. Why not? Who knows? I do. Never talked to me about before. This guy is me. That's how I know you know.
The Jets have just made a trade.
Oh.
Aaron Glenn.
Breaking news. Yeah, they did not trade Aaron Glenn. Jermaine Johnson has been traded by the Jets to the Tennessee Titans for defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat. Why did you go,
Lucky, because Tavondre Sweat's freaking awesome.
Okay. What would you? Who's our comp to Jermaine Johnson?
I mean, like, we don't have one.
Okay. I was just thinking, like, I'm asking, like, because I was going to say that would you have been willing to give him up for Tavondre Sweat? But if we don't have one, then yeah, we're out of the cut. But that's a good, like, pull by you to say that, because people go, why aren't we involved in that? Well, we didn't have what the Jets had to give up to get that player. And so when you don't have the assets to give up, you're not part of the conversation.
Yeah, like Karlaftis would be that guy, but he's not as good as Jermaine Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting, though. Defensive end for a defensive tackle. Like, we want an edge rusher. You need interior. Let's help each other out. Same position unit, though. Interesting. Yeah.
Every time I think of George Karlaftis in the contract, I just think of,
what have they done to us?
What did they do to us?
What has he done in his college or professional career? He's been with the Jets since 2002.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, which
2002?
Sucks. Yeah, so 2002 he's been
24 years.
Or 22, I'm sorry, 2022.
I don't want him at all.
Jermaine Johnson.
He's 27 years old. Why are the Jets trading him?
How's he 27 years old if he's been in the league 24 years? greatest prospect you've ever seen. Little baby Jarvis. Okay, I'm done with that.
Yeah, I don't know why they're, it is interesting. Huh. Tavondre Sweat's great rookie deal. They don't want to pay Jermaine Johnson, maybe.
Well, they picked up his fifth year option last year, so he's on the final year of that rookie deal.
Yeah, so they know that he's going to come up and pay. They're not going to pay him.
So that's why you trade him.
Yeah, Tavondre Sweat is in his third. This will be his third season, maybe his second season.
So you're backfilling with a guy. You got extra years of controllability if you're the Jets. Probably the smart move to make if you're the Jets, because this guy probably told him, "I'm gone."
Yeah, and the Titans have money.
Yeah. And so they can pay him and extend him and get
him off that rookie contract.
With
Big Jeff over there. Yeah. That's not bad.
No, it's an interesting trade. Like, those are the kind of trades that are fun. It's like, you know, to a certain extent, the D Ford Frank Clark type of trade, right? You get rid of that player and who's still young and still, you know, but obviously lined up offsides, whatever. And then you get Frank Clark and you got better when you made that move. Let's see if the Jets get better. Maybe Tennessee gets better by making that move too. I think the Jets just want to rid themselves of everything, you know, which is why you're going to franchise Breece Hall, though, makes no sense for an organization that is trying to rebuild, unless they feel like they can franchise him and trade him and get more draft collateral back in return. But I just don't think keeping Breece Hall on your roster on the franchise tag is what you want, because if it goes bad, it's going to go bad real fast for the guy that's on the franchise tag. You know, talking about, you know, I'm not playing anymore. If this team starts out 0-4 or 0-5, what's the incentive for Breece Hall to get out there and play for the Jets when he's going to reach free agency at the end of the season? So I just think that's a bad move by New York.
Nate Taylor, who's down in Indianapolis for the combine, asked by me, it's going to be Jeremiah Love, isn't it?
Man, here's the secret that I don't think is really a secret anymore. That dude is A, talented. He's incredibly intriguing. And I haven't met a soul here in Indianapolis that's like, I don't really buy into the whole Jordan Love hype or Jeremiah Love hype.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Everybody loves that dude. Like, his dynamic ability, his playmaking, you know, there's a reason. And I even wrote this today on ESPN.com. There's a reason why they say we got to get more explosive in the running game. Well, there's really only one draft prospect who could offer, you know, true elite level of explosiveness out of the backfield, and that's Jeremiah Love.
He would continue with Jeremiah Love.
Look, there's not even that many good quarterbacks. There's not that many good offensive linemen. Like, I mean, there are pass rushers, but like, will they get to nine? So you might this might be a situation where you're like, hey, do you want to do Carnell Tate? Do you want to do Jeremiah Love? I can't argue, because everyone here is like, yeah, man, he's really good.
They're taking Jeremiah Love at nine. That's it. That's, you can mark it. You can book it. You can put it in my little section that I put at the top. Dusty Likens says on February 26th that the Kansas City Chiefs will draft Jeremiah Love. I'm just convinced.
Yeah, it's him or Caleb Downs. I agree.
And I think Caleb Downs is going to go early.
Yep.
I think people just see him as a franchise changer in a weak draft, and they say yes, yes, and yes. And then the Chiefs go, Caleb Downs is gone. Reuben Bain is gone, who I also think will go before nine, because that's what we have seen in a lot of mock drafts. We know that Binkley might think that he's also going to go. I know that there's other names out there, but I think that if you think about the top five picks, Caleb Downs is gone. I think Reuben Bain will be gone by at least nine. I think that Mendoza's a pick that's gone. And I think that there's a possibility that Carnell Tate is gone.
Some more information on this trade from Schefter. The trade puts the Jets squarely in position now to take the top defensive end in this draft with the number two overall selection, which brings us to the next topic of discussion from Jordan Schultz. Teams have now inquired with the Bears about trading for defensive tackle Gervon Dexter, as the free agent defensive tackle market and draft class are not deep. The 24-year-old started 17 games last year, 13 and a half career sacks, 42 quarterback hits. He's entering the final year of his rookie contract. And I look at that one and I ask you guys, is that somebody that you would be in the market of trading for, based on the fact now that Jordan Schultz is saying the trade market is going to heat up for those defensive linemen, defensive tackles, because the free agent and draft class are not deep at that position? So would you trade for this guy Dexter from the Bears, who's got 1 year left on his rookie contract? Or would you say, nah, I'll pass on that one and continue to look, you know, at the draft and save my picks for the draft? Because that's an intriguing one right there, but you're going to have to pay him. And are the Chiefs ready to scratch another big time check? Because if you trade for a guy on the final year of his rookie contract and you don't sign him, well, then that's a horse crap trade. So you've got to be prepared to pay that guy as well as trade for him. And you probably have those details worked out ahead of time. You know, you're not going to trade for a guy with 1 year left if you don't have the, you know, the details of a contract worked out behind the scenes. So there's going to be, this is just in the last 5 minutes, we're seeing all of this stuff start to develop. And so maybe it is the Chiefs' best interest to look outside the draft and free agency to get better on that defensive line. And look, Brett's going to look at everything. And the Bears is interesting because obviously the connection is there with Ryan Poles. So,
yeah, if the draft's working out the way that I think Dusty thinks, a lot of people are seemingly starting to think that those premium guys will be gone because there's not many of them, then yeah, you've got to get yours while you can. So get that D lineman. And then when Jeremiah Love or Caleb Downs falls, you get the quote unquote best player at the non-premium position because you've taken care of business and free agency as much as you can. I'd be fine with that. He's not an edge rusher, but yeah, emerged as a big guy last year.
Who's playing next to Chris Jones right now, though?
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Gelati or Norman Lott?
Yeah, rookies.
Be Norman Lott.
Yeah, a guy coming off a knee injury and a second-year player, right? That's it. That's all we got on that defensive line. So,
well, when did you draft Gelati?
Last year.
I know, I'm saying pick-wise.
Second round.
Ready to go.
Yeah,
he should be here.
He's an edge rusher.
Okay.
He's a hybrid, like he can do a little bit of both, but he's not interior.
But he's next to Chris Jones.
He's on the edge. I mean,
I'm talking like inside.
Yeah, inside next to him. Yeah, hand on the ground. No, that's not going to be him a lot of the time. He's like a Mike Dana. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can do a lot. Okay. But no, he's not 330 pounds stuffing an A-gap.
Yeah.
No.
We need that guy still, right? We don't have that guy on the roster. That's what I'm saying. Who's playing next to Chris Jones? And yeah, that's what he played. Never heard of him. Honest to God, I have no idea.
I really don't know who it would be.
Yeah. He's on first.
Exactly. But I mean, we don't know who the wide receivers are. We don't know who the defensive linemen are. We don't know who the defensive backs are. Like, all of a sudden, you look at this team, you go, damn, they got a lot of holes on this team. And then they really don't, you know, and then they close them all real fast. So,
does Mike Evans have the best situation going into this season? Got a ring.
Mm.
He's got a jacket, right? He's good.
We think.
For sure.
Yeah. Carrington doesn't.
That's
Wait,
fine.
What?
Yeah, he thinks he's washed and not a Hall of Famer.
Who?
Mike Evans.
That's the guy that played wide receiver for Tampa that has 1,000 yards every year?
I will say Karen's not the only one. It's a big topic. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to derail you, Dusty. Sorry.
No, you're good. But he has what he said. He will consider all 32 teams. He said even the Browns and Jets they will consider.
Wow.
So he's just looking for the retirement package.
He's good looking for cash?
Yeah, okay. He's not coming to Kansas City.
Looks like that is the case. Unless it's like Browns are offering him 1 year 10 and we're offering him 1 year 8.
What would you do?
$2 million.
You already got the ring, so you're not ring chasing.
No, I'm going to where the most money is to set myself up for the rest of my life because I've already set myself up legacy wise in the NFL.
100%. Set himself up for the rest of his life too, though. To be
true.
Fair,
yeah.
Like he's set up either way.
But a little extra cash doesn't hurt.
A little extra cash does not
never,
hurt.
Never. Yeah, I agree.
No, I'm with Dusty.
Especially if you know this is the last one and you want to get as much on the dollar that you can. I don't care if I'm in Cleveland or if I'm in wherever Arizona. Which that would be a place you could think of because, like, then he just retires. But, I mean, he could retire in Tampa, too.
Yeah. But I Arizona's better than Tampa, a lot less
humidity. For sure, I would live in Scottsdale right now the rest of my life.
But, with Mike Evans and going for the bag, I've talked to enough former athletes that say you have two goals when you become a player, get paid and get a ring. Once you get one, you chase the other. And so Mike Evans has already got that ring. Chase the cash. And if somebody's going to give you an exorbitant amount of money to go play wide receiver, do it, dude. Do it. You deserve it. He's a Hall of Famer. What's holding him back?
Yeah, he's never the devil's advocate. I think he is, but the argument against him, he's never a top five receiver in his day. Like no year was he a top five guy, elite guy.
But doesn't consistency count for something? Like he was a stud for basically a decade
with no matter who was throwing in the ball.
Good point.
And he got Johnny Manziel a Heisman Trophy. Which that's a topic we disagree upon, but that's okay. It's a fun disagreement. This is why yesterday I had the Jeremiah Love and the Darren Peterson thing. Two different texts at the same exact time. Love is exactly what Mahomes needs coming off the ACL injury. 20 seconds later, if Veach drafts Love, it might be his worst draft pick ever. I would lose all faith in Veach. His past drafts have been pathetic.
There you go.
That's the swing on Jeremiah Love. Like, and that's why Nate Taylor's like, man,
Siciliano just tweets, Caleb Downs is addressing the media right now.
Ooh. You
75 deep of media talking to this kid. He ain't making it to 9.
Damn it.
Yep. There is a right-handed pitcher that is making a name for himself in the Royals organization. There is a right-handed pitcher that might have a dominant shortstop behind him as well in the NL. We'll get into both of those. Plus, the World Baseball Classic is here before you know it. I think a week from today, right? Is that correct?
I think the 6th is when it starts, yeah.
Okay. We'll get into that next year. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
My buddy Zach had heard the Pete Weber audio and decided to send a little reminder that I did know, maybe you guys didn't, the guy that he is yelling at, 12-year-old kid.
That is correct. Yeah, I did forget that. Yeah.
Even better. Because the kid was trolling him. And then immediately.
Rage baiting him?
Oh, big time. And then he got that sort of response. Who do you think you are? I am. To a 12-year-old.
12.
And now Pete Weber is, believe, a semi-drunk in St. Louis that owns a bowling alley.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's in O'Fallon, too. I could be wrong with that, though, but I think that's where it's at.
That tracks.
He screams St. Louis. Bowling, cigarettes.
Yes.
yelling at children,
100%.
Miserable with their own lives.
Fits right in.
Wishing they were anywhere else but there. Yeah, he's perfect, yeah.
Loves Provel. Yeah. Loves fried ravioli. Will die on the Emos heel. I do like Emos,
too.
Though.
I love think it's Emos. Good.
I also love Provel cheese. But, hey, who am I to judge your taste?
Gosh, now I want Emos.
There's a Canadian radio host by the name of Brian Hayes and is upset with the way that the Americans celebrated the winning of the gold medal. Get bent.
Kiss my ass. Don't boo the national anthem.
The TSN host called the celebration in Miami, quote, a bit over the top, saying an Olympic gold shouldn't be treated like a full-blown Stanley Cup parade, especially with NHL games resuming later this week. Okay. Number one, I'm not sure that guy's ever had a day of fun in his whole life, okay? Number two, I think winning the gold medal and owning the world is the most dominating thing that you can do in sports, and they beat the world. That's better than winning the Stanley Cup. And here's where the guys are really mad, because they have games later this week and they were too busy out celebrating to put the pads on for the Winnipeg Jets or whatever team that you're rooting for up there in Canada. And number four is obvious jealousy that the Canadians didn't win and America beat Canada in this time at its own game when Canada's been trying to say that they're better than the United States. And so that's just not the case. But I mean, come on, man, you won a gold medal in the Olympics for the first time since 1980. I would have been disappointed if they didn't go out and celebrate this thing.
Yesterday, Annie Rogers tweeted also about the Carlos Acevedo stuff, right? So she had a tweet and it said basically, or maybe this was 2 days ago. This was Tuesday. Carlos Acevedo's velocity was way down today in his spring debut, 86 to 89 miles per hour. This is obviously eyebrow-raising and something we monitor, but not new. It's exactly what came up last year. It's typically a slow start for him. Royals really rely on how he says he feels. We talked about that yesterday on the show. And then after the show's over, some videos kind of come out of this young kid for the Royals, a right-hander named Kendry Churio, who threw live BP with his fastball sitting around 96, 97. He's a 17-year-old kid who's blitzed through all the leagues that he has, you know, had to face, which are all like the, you know, early leagues, the DSL, the ACL, and has pitched a playoff game at low A. This is a kid I think you could probably start to watch through the Royal system that sometimes it works out that great, right? Like we saw Adam Wainwright's career kind of come up as a closer, then become a starter. We've seen John Smoltz go starter, closer, starter. We've seen Zach Greinke go from starter to closer to starter. Sometimes it works that way.
Sure.
Maybe this is a guy that you can start kind of when you think, what do I look at with the Royals and what could be something to keep an eye on? Obviously, mine was as soon as they drafted Jack Caglione out of Florida, I'm like, dude, this is a dual athlete. He can pitch, he can hit, he's got power, he's got bat speed, he's got arm strength, all this stuff. I didn't know he was going to do what he did in the minors, and it was fun to watch. This kid could be something like that.
Yeah, and he's getting a lot of buzz around baseball, too. When the Royals signed him, I mean, I heard from a lot of people on different teams, like, damn, that's a really good signing by the Royals. That's a sneaky good signing. Like, everybody was really positive about this, and I'm looking at the kid at 17 years old mowing people down, and if you feel he's ready to bring him up at the big league level, then by all means, please bring him up to the big league level. Now, if you don't think he's ready, obviously, then you keep him down, you know, at the minor leagues. But we're in a day and age now where I don't want to use the term rushing guys up to the big leagues, but we're getting guys up to the big leagues faster than ever before because guys are making that jump right from college to the big league level with a hot stay in the minor leagues. There's a lot of incentive now for teams to bring up players younger to get them up to the big league level with draft picks and stuff that didn't exist back in the day. So teams are willing to bring their guys up that are younger sooner. And if this kid is, you know, ready to go and you feel confident with him, if he's hitting mid-90s, why not, right? Like, if you're a pitcher, you either have it or you don't, right? And it seems like, based on what we've seen so far, this kid's on track to having it right now. And I would get him up as soon as you possibly could.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of gives me, and I know we hate comps, but he kind of gives me that, like, Jacob Mizorowski sort of comp, which obviously he's a local kid that didn't really develop until like junior college and then kind of went on to, you know, show the rest of his way. And I think that's kind of interesting when you look at, you know, maybe he's not a reliever, but maybe to get his confidence and kind of, you know, get it to where he's feeling it in his plums, you put him in one of those high leverage moments and he thrives from it.
Yeah,
right.
Mate.
I mean,
yeah,
you don't see it very often. We have seen it. Obviously, as somebody mentions, Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Trout, And also, we saw it happen with Andrew Jones, who's now in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He was a 19-year-old kid playing in the World Series. This kid's 17. I'm not sure his birthday. But I do love that you have at least something like that in your system where you are kind of, I don't want to say like rich, but you're wealthy. Mm-hmm. I think at pitching right now, if it all goes the way I think it should go, you have two solid veterans. You have a left-hander in your starter and your ace, and Cole Reagans, who's been compared to DeGrom, and that doesn't come from anybody. It comes from like Passan, who's the MLB insider for ESPN. You've got Bubich, who's shown enough, but can he stay healthy? And then you might have found a diamond in the rough out of St. Joe and Noah Cameron. If you can have this kid, and you can trust that his process is moving, then what does that do for the Royals when it comes to the trade deadline? Because we know they didn't spend a whole lot of money this offseason, even though they reacquired Lugo and Michael Garcia in the system, and they have a bunch of young talent around, and they restructured Salvador Perez's contract. But, man, could you imagine if this kid is blowing through these leagues now, and then all of a sudden he gets into A, double A, and all of a sudden it's like, well, he's in triple A, he's 18 years old. It's like, okay, well, what do we do? It's like, well, I don't know, but, like, we have a surplus in pitching and we still need that bat that we haven't acquired. It's July, mid-July trade deadline or late July.
Maybe he's a trade piece. Yeah, exactly. But, so, you know, you mentioned how old he was too. I don't think we should let age determine whether or not somebody's ready or not to come up to the big league level. Yeah, I just, like, see 17. Can he compete? Is he ready to go?
Because Vern's on record. And by the way, Vern's Hot Stove is live tonight at 6 o'clock. He's going to have Bobby Witt Jr. and Carlos Estevez
on
the show tonight. Right there. So it's interesting to see that as well, because we're seeing this in baseball. We're seeing, and Vern has said this, that now the youth of the baseball athlete is no longer 30 to 34-ish or what it was. Now it's the best time of your career in baseball that we have seen is about 23 to 28. And that's why it was so important when they got Bobby Witt Jr. signed, because he's giving you his best years as a baseball player. Even if it doesn't work out and he opts out in a few years down the road because the Royals aren't showing him enough, which is in his contract. I'm not just spewing false narratives. He can do that. I don't think he will, because I think this team is doing exactly what they said they'd do when they gave him that contract. That we will continuously be a competitive team with you on this roster and try to get better. They've had two winning seasons in back-to-back years, one playoff, one not. So I think that when you put all of that together and you think about the young stars coming up, right? Like, we saw all these young kids come up. We've seen Pete Crow Armstrong surprise people.
Yeah.
We've seen, Chase Burns do that in Cincinnati.
Ellie De La Cruz in Cincinnati.
Another one of those names. And now we're seeing the next wave, which might be this Connor Griffin kid in Pittsburgh. Now, I know of him because obviously Gold and I do the card chasing in his name. Like, if you got Pittsburgh, a lot of people are like, well, there's a double-edged sword here. And this is where the conversation takes off. Because when you got, in an auction, the wheel in on Pittsburgh, you're like, all right, I have a chance at anything Paul Skeens, which is just you keep it no matter what, whether it's autographed or whatever the refractor is.
Yeah.
And then it was, you also had the Connor Griffin prospect. And right now, the value of that card is not only going to go up more, but it started high because the projections were high. And then we saw yesterday two home runs from this kid. He's been great in the minor leagues. He might have a shot at playing shortstop opening day for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and a team that is trying to sell on hope and reality that they can do this. If your starting shortstop is Connor Griffin and your starting pitcher is Paul Skeens on opening day and Livy Dunn's in the crowd, you're going to have buzz around your team. And maybe that's kind of what Pittsburgh needs to do to finally get them out of being a bottom feeder, less spending team to be like, we might have something here.
I wonder if Livy Dunn can be and have the same type of effect on the Pittsburgh Pirates in a small way that like Taylor's had here, where people become fans because of her, right? And they start watching the games. It's hard when you're a pitcher and it's every fifth day. And to do that, football's a lot easier. It's one day a week, and baseball, it's a lot more difficult to do that. But to your point, I mean, how cool is that to have a baseball team like that? If you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, finally with an ace on the mound and the number one prospect playing right behind him and one of the most famous people in the world hanging out at your ballpark all the time. Like, that's a really good vibe for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think it's a really good vibe for baseball. We need to root for this kid to be good in Pittsburgh. And we need to root for Paul Skeens to stay in Pittsburgh, because that ultimately is good for Major League Baseball. Gives cities like us that kind of hope that we want, because we all just assume, and we're probably right assuming it, Paul Skeens is going to jump to the Yankees as quickly as he possibly can. But what if this Connor Griffin kid comes in and this team plays good baseball this year and they're in the middle of a playoff race and he's starting to love life a little bit, maybe he doesn't ask to be traded at this point in time and you wait a couple of more years. And so I think Pittsburgh has a golden opportunity here to get their fans excited, to get baseball excited. And I really do think a lot of fans, regardless if you're a fan of the Pirates or the Royals, you're a fan of good players. You're a fan of greatness. You're a fan of watching something unique. Connor Griffin at 19 as a starting shortstop in Major League Baseball, I think that's intriguing for everybody, whether you're a baseball fan or a sports fan or not. You're seeing something that we don't normally see or hardly ever see is a kid at 19 years old as the opening day shortstop. I think it would be great for the game.
Yeah, built like it too. I mean, 6'4". I mean, big human being at shortstop. I think Bobby's like 6 foot to give like a size comparison of like how big this guy is. Because I think Bobby's like 6 foot. I want to say 185, maybe that's too low on weight. But yeah, Connor Griffin, everything I've ever heard or researched on him, because there were times where I'm like, oh yeah, Paul Skeens, I don't know what's in this auction for Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And then it was like Connor Griffin. So I go to my buddy, not Alex, but I go to another buddy of mine named Matt, who sells cars. He like does it for a living. And I'm like, Connor Griffin. He goes, yeah, you got any? That was the first response. Like, what about him? Wasn't it? Was it? It was like, do you have any? And I'm like, well, I've got like his first Bowman Chrome. I don't have anything special, but a $25 car that I'm just going to hold on to. Because he's like, well, whatever you have, hold or get it graded. And then he should be in the big leagues in the next year. And then his, you know, potential could skyrocket.
Yeah.
But again,
that's crazy. But that was the first thing that he said too.
It's
like,
do you have any?
Do you have any? Like, yeah. Like everybody knows who he is. And you know, they obviously made some moves in the off season. They got Ryan O'Hearn, you know, a nice bat for them. O'Neill Cruz still in center field, Brian Reynolds out in left field. I mean, it's not a bad lineup. And then they just signed Marcelo Zuna. I mean, they got that big bat that they need at their DH spot. So they've done some nice things. At least Pittsburgh went out this off season and actually spent some money for the first time ever.
Yeah. And he'll be 20 on April 24th. So, not necessarily a teenager.
Right, yeah. Bring him up and be a teenager for a month before the
happy
the
birthday, kid. You're going to play shortstop behind Paul Skeens on your birthday.
How cool would that be, right? I mean, seriously, how awesome would that be?
Does your girlfriend have any friends?
Yes. Bring them all to the game. Let's see. Where is their where do the Pittsburgh Pirates open this year? Let me see. They open, at the Mets.
Even better.
That game is a nationally televised NBC Peacock Major League Baseball Network game.
Of course, so Paul Skeens is on the bump.
Paul Skeens is on the bump versus the Mets.
Juan Soto's out there.
And you want to see this kid play, I would imagine, right? You're going to be on national TV. Let's go.
You know the other thing that's great about Connor Griffin? American. You know who he's going to play for in about 4 years after this one?
America.
In the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Because I think that I'm going to pivot to you here in a second, but where you talk about, can Livy be a fan of, like, you know, of bringing more fans in? Obviously, nowhere near the level of Taylor Swift, but very active on social media. And I wonder, because Connor Griffin gets people into sports because of sports cards, like how much sports cards have gotten people into the game?
A lot.
And I kind of use sports cards the way I used FIFA, the video game, to get me into soccer. Right, I would know who guys were on different club teams when they played on the national team. It's like, oh yeah, he plays for Man City. Like, oh, why do you know that? Because I play the video game.
Right, and I knew as a kid everybody who played for everybody because I was collecting the baseball cards back in the day. It's
and
huge.
So that's what the cards have done for me. Where I'm like, oh yeah, they have a prospect in their system. Like, yeah, they think they're going
to
call.
I'll tell you, I've heard from scouts they use the baseball cards to help them at the big league level.
And I think that the World Baseball Classic could do that for fans of baseball and maybe to save baseball from going to a lockout, because I think there will be a surplus of people watching this World Baseball Classic, because it's not like two teams are dominant.
Right.
There's about 4 to 5 that could win this whole thing. And they're the ones that you would think of, like the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, the USA, and Japan.
And
those are probably your 5 top teams that you would think. But like, I think not only does baseball cards and the chase of that being more popular, I mean, heck, this past weekend, there were like 5 superstars at different sports card stores ripping packs with people. It was like Cooper Flagg, I think Cody Rhodes was one in WWE. There was a few other athletes that just, like, Mike Trout was one, just showed up in the lines, dude. It was like going to Seventh Heaven back in the day in Blue Springs, get a concert ticket. Yeah. You had to wait, get a ticket, then go back in line and get in your numbered line. So I think that helps.
Did you cheat and fix that lottery for the tickets? Did you have any KU people running that
one? The only way I cheated is I found my buddy's dad in the line, and I went and stood next to him.
You did the stop and chat.
And he did the, come here, son. Yeah. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up, Doug? And we both got like the 58th and 59th ticket. So then when they went and did the thing, started one.
Yeah.
That was the Garth when he came to the Sprint Center.
Ah, okay.
But I think the World Baseball Classic will help massively to get people kind of in that push, because, I mean, I don't think everybody is, but I bet there were a few more eyeballs on hockey last night than maybe there would have been if they didn't win gold.
Oh, I would imagine so. I mean, that arena in Jersey was packed. I mean, it was insane to see the crowd turn out for all of that. And I was thinking about it as I was watching the thing take place last night. I'm like, man, this is something that Major League Baseball really needs to get a better feel on with the World Baseball Classic. And I think right now, after listening to the announcer for the Devils open the game last night and say it's been 19 days between games, and I'm like, wow, it's been that long. It's been about 3 weeks. I mean, I'm obviously not a diehard hockey fan like I am baseball or football, so it wasn't like I missed the day-to-day activity of it. But it got me to thinking a little bit, because immediately after I watched the Devils kind of intro and the start of the game, I was looking on X, and I see Ken Rosenthal, you know, the biggest ball washer for Major League Baseball, already spewing excuses of why guys can't pitch in the WBC and how hard it is for the managers to manage the pitching in the WBC. And as we know, baseball is just such this game of routine. Anything that stops down the routine is verboten in the game. And so I was thinking, with the way that the Olympics happened with the NHL, why don't we do that with baseball? Why don't we make the World Baseball Classic in the middle of the summer when you have the dog days of the baseball season? Now, I know the Olympics fell when they did, so hockey was able to do that, but they can schedule the World Baseball Classic whenever they want. And I think at this time of the year, it's like we're trying to force this in before the regular season gets started, almost as an afterthought, where the NHL kind of looked at it finally the right way, as the Olympics as a big marketing moment for their team. And during the summer, people always say, ah, when's football going to get here? And it's the dog days of baseball. There's a lot of meaningless baseball being played at that point in time. What if you just stopped the season for 19 days in the middle of the summer when baseball's in those dog days, and did that World Baseball Classic then? I think it rejuvenates a lot of interest and maybe gets you really interested in the second half of that Major League Baseball season. I like the way hockey did this. I thought it was pretty good, and nobody seemingly missed a beat except the people in Canada who are bitching and moaning that America won gold. Another headline from up there in Canada today that'll surprise you, from the Toronto Star, or whatever their newspaper is up there. Auston Matthews made his choice, seemingly putting the party and the president ahead of the playoffs. This is the angle that Canada's taking now. All of the people that are on their teams that celebrated because they were Americans that won the gold are now bad. That's two now from Canada complaining about the way that the Americans celebrated this. But I think it would be cool if baseball did that. Kind of rejuvenate baseball at a time of year when it needs rejuvenating, you know?
You know what I'm drinking this morning? Canadian Tears.
Oh, very nice. I like that, yes.
Can you tap in with your sources up in New York about this story that's developing about Giancarlo Stanton?
What is that? He's going to play left field, or do we have more on that?
I don't know if he's going to play again.
Oh.
This is a quote from Giancarlo Stanton. You tell me level of 1 to 10 on worrisome. I can't open a bottle. I can't open a bag of chips, a bag of anything. That's the way it is.
Wow.
I mean, you can't open a bag of chips because your elbows are that shot? Like, I don't, do we see the rest of Giancarlo Stanton?
I don't know. Yesterday I tried to tip over a bowl of pasta, and I've hurt my elbow. And it was like, I had to change, like stick the box of pasta under my shoulder and dump it in.
You might have a tennis elbow.
I think I do. Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah.
Right here. I noticed
it. Yeah, right here. It hurt. Yep. Yeah.
100% you do.
So could you imagine this little thing is bothering us? Could you imagine what somebody like Giancarlo Stanton's going through?
This. I mean, this.
I don't think we realize how.
You can't do the little blue or red. Pick a number.
Yeah, remember that thing? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You are not going to find the love of your life ever. Yeah. Okay, let's burn that thing up. Pick a number. 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, pick a color. Blue. B-L-U-E. All right, and it's pick a number. 5. Flap. Okay, yeah. You are a horrible person.
That's right.
Who wrote this?
Yeah, those were fun as kids. But, man, I didn't see that about Giancarlo Stanton. That sucks about him.
Yeah, can't open a bottle and can't open a bag of chips, a bag of anything. That's how much it hurts. God. And we are about a month away.
A month from today. Yeah. I think the 26th is technically opening day. Or they probably play somewhere.
New York's got to move on from him.
I think so, yeah. It's time. But, man,
Somebody says, if you're from Johnson County, it's called pickleball elbow.
Yeah. Well played.
See, I noticed that when I started playing golf, like in the winter this year, because it's been such a weird winter that you can go out there and play.
Sure.
And I've noticed, like, when I get home and I grip the steering wheel, I'm like, what is that? My sister's a massage therapist. I'm like, hey, I've got this pain right here, sitting on, like, a Snapchat of, like, my elbow. And she goes, you have tennis elbow. She goes, do you want to know what it is? And it talks about, like, the ligament, like, is pinched or something like that. So the pain.
How do you relieve it? It
takes, like, 5 years. If you look up tennis elbow, it can be fixed, but it's like you have to, like, you know, massage. You know those little hand things that you could squeeze those? Mine's not as severe, and it's been going on for about a year now, but it's weird. It'll just flare up.
Because Jen has the same thing. I'm like, how did you – and you're going to laugh at this. I said, well, how do you get it? She goes, I have to stand out in traffic all day holding the stop sign at the school. Uh-huh. I'm like
– Have you seen those videos of that guy that sits on the side of the road with the speedometer? And he's, like, in, like, a school zone, and people that go, like, 55, he'll throw, like, leftover food at their windshield.
Oh, that's me. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely me. You speed in a school zone or pass a school bus. These people that pass school buses now, screw you.
That's funny. Somebody says, you're all acting like Canada disrespected us for no reason. Well, I mean, your opinion.
They're all taking shots at our athletes because they're not focused on trying to win a Stanley Cup, which Canada hasn't won since the early 90s.
Yeah. And they boo the national anthem. I don't care if you hate a country or not. I'd never just boo a national anthem.
Right, exactly.
Like, somebody says, it just definitely comes and goes like arthritis.
Okay.
So, I mean, but that is crazy. Pasta.
Yeah.
Bag of chips. But it's like, you know, when you watch the news and they're like, you know, it could be one of those days where you have headaches and joint pain because of the weather.
Oh, yeah.
That also could play.
That also plays.
Like, it was 64 yesterday and sunny. Beautiful.
Hello, America.
Find me a patio. There is an iconic duo coming to Kansas City to perform at Morton Salt. I ask a question. Is there a musical artist that you will have to see because time is running up on said artist? We discuss next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Back at it, final segment here. Don't forget, Gold's in Canada right now.
I hope he's keeping the Canadians at bay this morning.
Yeah, he seems like a guy that would do that.
Well, he
wanted to wear his Canadian or his U.S. jersey, but that didn't come in time because I guess he ordered it at Fanatics, shockingly. It didn't show up. So he couldn't wear that. I offered him my my Revolutionary War hoodie to wear, and I told him to come over and get that, but he didn't want that. But I guess, I keep reading it this morning. These Canadians are pissed at their own players, not like pissed. They are pissed, and maybe they're doing it for the clicks, but they're mad that the guys that played on Team USA are not focused enough now on the NHL to get them that Stanley Cup. That is the ultimate. That's the caveman approach right there. That's the get in your playbook guy. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. So it was announced last week, an iconic country duo band's coming to Morton Salt. That duo is Brooks and Dunn. One of my favorites. I think I have to see them. Because the two most respected women in my life who are no longer here are my mother and my grandmother. And my grandmother's favorite band was Brooks and Dunn. Her favorite song of all time was Neon Moon.
It's a great song. Great karaoke song.
It's a fantastic song. It is a top five country song, and it's not four, five, or three, in my opinion, of all time.
Wow.
I think I've got to go. I don't think I know I've got to go.
You should go.
Because we had the discussion yesterday on my buddy's patio. We were talking about Dave Matthews Band, and lawn seats are like $185, and there's like a couple rows in front of the lawn that are still open, and they are $265.
Jeez.
And I told them yesterday, I'd only had a few surf sides because I got to work today. It's a school night. And I said,
that's a lot.
I'll pay it because I don't know how much longer Dave Matthews tours. And how much longer he's still enjoyable. You just figured this out when you went and saw Rascal Flatts. Mm-hmm. It's probably the last time you'll see them because it's not the same. You don't want to, it's like seeing somebody in your family get, you know, wither away.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to remember grandpa.
Yeah,
like that.
No, that's, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that there are few bands that do this for individuals that love music. And that is, you should see them before you can't. Because I will go the rest of my life regretting never seeing Tom Petty live.
Sinatra for me.
That's fair.
That's big.
My parents were on the way to go see Frank Sinatra, and as they were driving to the Meadowlands, they had one of those electric boards. Mm-hmm. Concert canceled tonight. That's the closest they got to seeing Sinatra.
Damn.
And my dad, you want to talk about being pissed at Frank Sinatra? He was mad at that son of a gun until I went to college and my roommate used to like pretend he was Frank Sinatra and sing the songs. And then my dad started to like Frank Sinatra again. It went like 20 years where he absolutely hated Frank Sinatra for that.
So I ask you guys and maybe the listeners, is there a musical artist or a band or of that? Because I never got to see Prince, never got to see Tom Petty, never got to really see the full Fleetwood Mac. Obviously, Christy McVie is no longer here, and I don't think her. There's two members, right? Dead, I think. Never got to see John Mayer and Dead & Co. because we just lost, obviously, Bob
Weir.
Yeah, we just lost Bob, so I won't get to see that. But I know there's like a band you guys love. Like, Mac, I know you and I, if Angels and Airwaves ever comes to town, we'll be the first ones in line to go see that.
100%.
Never seen them. Love that band. Don't know if they'll ever tour again. I would assume so.
Hope so.
But I think Blink's going to come back one more time.
That's when I'll, if they don't come to KC and they're touring, I will go travel and take off work and go where they are going.
Yeah, you have to do that. I highly suggest that. Like, going to see a band in a cool venue is something that we've talked about last week that I like to do.
And I'm excited to see Morton Salt.
I am too. They're getting everything, man. Is Sandstone even open anymore?
So I have a theory about Sandstone too, or Ariza, or whatever it's called. You know what they should do is they should play like indie and not big names, because all the big names are going to Morton.
Dave
Matthews, Brooks and Dunn, Chris Stapleton. All these big names are going to this venue, which they should. But why not lean into the other side of it? Like, well, we can, you know, sell like,
I don't like
you know
that.
Like Alt J goes there, or Arctic Monkeys go there, or Glass Animals, big bands, but not like headliners like that. So I don't know. I mean, it's
whatever
always
works.
Be Sandstone to me, obviously, but sure. I'm excited. And I think I do have to go see at least Brooks and Dunn and Dave Matthews.
Yeah, that was me for Guns N' Roses. I was like, I gotta go. And so I've done that, you know, three times now. I think I wish I would have seen Jimmy Buffett more.
Mm-hmm.
That's my kind of big regret. I wish I would have seen Jimmy Buffett more than I did.
Regret never seen Jimmy Buffett live.
Yeah, I've seen him two, three times. I wish I would have seen him more. I really do. Like when he died, my daughter looked at me. She goes, "Dad, what I really regret is I never got to see him live," and that like crushed me. Right, like she never got to see Jimmy Buffett live, and I'm like, "Damn, I wish I would have seen him more. I wish I would have gone to more concerts."
Mm-hmm. Somebody says Dave Matthews Band is a lot like Fish and the Grateful Dead and Widespread Panic.
Yeah, that's a good comp.
They'll be around a bit longer, but never miss a chance when a guitar virtuoso is in your hometown. Yeah, and I've never seen them. And the last time they were here was, I believe, 2017, and before that was a long time before that. And I just, they're a band that, like, at first I didn't respect at a young age, because I was in, like, my punk rock era and I didn't really care about Satellites and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
This
is called Neon Moon.
Yeah.
By Brooks and Dunn on 96.5 The Fan. I did a little country DJing for a while. Like for 2 seconds. I mean, the guy was in the bathroom.
It's a very depressing song, but I mean, everything.
I remember being in Texas. Everybody would karaoke this, and it was fantastic. And they were like, these guys were good, though. This wasn't like us. Like, there were some really good karaoke singers down in Texas. What else do they got to do besides, you know, eat cows and, you know, go longhorns and sing? So, yeah. But Brooks and Dunn was like, it was the first song. Like, when you go and cover a sporting event, or if you're a season ticket holder, you know what all the entertainment is during the game. You know, the first inning, they're going to do this and all this kind of stuff. Spurs games, they always would play Brooks and Dunn. Out in the country past the city limit sign, there's a honky-tonk past the county line. And whatever the rat was that, you know, was in a costume for the San Antonio Spurs would dance with the guitar and all that kind of stuff. So I always have that kind of memory every time I hear Brooks and Dunn. I'm always thinking about the Spurs games that I got to go to in my first job when I was younger.
How about this impeccable timing from the 620? I saw Soundgarden at Starlight 4 days before Chris Cornell died.
Oh, wow.
Says, yeah, I would have never forgot myself. I'd missed it. Yeah. Rest in peace, Cornell.
Oh, man.
Like, I'll see Pearl Jam when they come.
Yeah.
I've never seen Pearl Jam either. I love Eddie Vedder, and I will go rock out to that, because they have a new album out, and they got a tour, I would assume.
No, they are. Okay. I looked.
They're definitely going to Chicago.
Well, they're in Chicago, and it's like, I'm already doing something that weekend. I'm like, God, I wish
hate
it was.
To see it.
Yeah. I forget what the weekend it was, but I'm like, nope.
Jay Binkley just came in here.
Oh, no. Boy. Oh, no. Hey, you know, Neon Moon, it's a play on words. It's actually not, it's not a moon, it's a planet.
Oh,
and it's not neon.
It's bigger than that.
Oh, Lord.
Reuben Bain just got his measurements.
Oh, God.
Who cares?
I do, actually.
Save that for 10 o'clock.
I want to know what Binkley had to say about it.
I feel bad for Cody today.
We'll tease Cody and Gold. Bink will be on measurements. We won't talk about him, but just get ready. Find out if his arm is short or long.
Is it a good or a bad measurement?
It's a bad measurement.
Oh, no.
Men's wieners.
We know what their lead is today.
Binkley did T-Rex arms to me.
Did he? So Reuben Bain is not good?
He did that.
Do you want me to give you another one that T-Bink? I just saw?
Oh, okay.
This comes from Awful Announcing.
Oh.
From Dan Orlovsky.
Do they have good announcing? Has somebody ever decided to do a
amazing
parody?
Yeah,
like, yeah, amazing announcing.
Ty Simpson's tape from Alabama through the first 8 games of the season is significantly more impressive than Fernando Mendoza's.
Whoa, there we go.
So there's your wild card. I don't know if he's right or wrong. That's his opinion, right?
Of course.
You know, so.
Somebody says, please don't jump my ass because of inflation and time passing. But I went to Pink Floyd in 1994 for $37. Oh. This was after waiting 3 hours at Hy-Vee for tickets.
That's awesome.
There was a ticket. Yeah, there was a ticket so that cool. showed up yesterday on X, formerly Twitter, and it was like from the early 90s, and it was like a $19 ticket. I forget who the headliner was, but it said featuring special guests Nirvana and Pearl Jam. They were the special guests on the $19 ticket. Damn it. Who was that yesterday? I forget who the headliner was. Reuben Bain's measurements, 30 7/8 inch arms.
He didn't get 31.
And 77.5 inch wingspan.
He did the Binkley fingers with the T-Rex arms. I'm dead.
Did Binkley say that, though? He didn't get the 31?
Didn't get 31.
Is 31 the magic number?
That's like short. 31's apparently short.
We went from Brooks and Dunn to Nirvana.
You know, it was said on the text line. Bob said it. I said, you know what? This is more my speed.
Yeah, my buddy Travis. Biggest concert I regret was missing the Soundgarden concert in Kansas City, thinking I'll catch him next time.
Yeah, dude. You never catch anybody next time.
Dude, Cornell, man. I wish I could have seen Temple of the Dog. I'm going hungry. I'm going hungry. Great song. Great collab. Man, that song bangs, dude. Somebody says, Dusty, you gave my daughter a shout-out on the radio.
Oh, here it is. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Performed where? What was it?
The Salem Armory.
Wow.
The Sailor Armory. $19.50, 1992, with special guests Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
Damn.
$19 to see that. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nirvana, and Pearl Jam.
Smash.
Heart would be on my list.
Yeah. Great band.
Great band.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying. I didn't even think about that. Okay. My favorite female vocalist is Ann Wilson. So that'd be mine. And dude, I've seen videos of her recently. She's still got pipes, man. Nancy's still ripping it on guitar. It's awesome.
I love when people send you a goodbye text.
All right. See you, man.
No sports talk about. Yep. Goodbye. I guess you missed the last 3 hours and 45 minutes.
If you're not talking about what I need you to be talking about at my time, screw you.
They say goodbye.
All right. Well, we're not going to miss you.
Don't worry. You've got arm length content coming up in 6 minutes.
I mean, that's honest great. To God. That's honest
great.
To God.
That's great.
Great. Unbelievable, Mac. Well done by you.
Take the day, Mac.
Yeah, seriously.
Thanks.
You don't like this? Fine. We're going to talk about arm length. Damn right we are.
Yeah, screw talking about Rock and Roll Hall of Famers and
could you
and
imagine
country
that
Hall of Famers.
Imagine that guy's when he gets home. Hey, honey, how was your day? You know what, honey? I found out today that Reuben Bain.
Yeah.
What else did you learn? Well, I guess Brooks and Dunn's coming out. Wait, they are?
They are.
Where'd you hear
Let's
that?
Get tickets.
On this stupid sports station, they talked about country artists. Well, I'm interested. Tell me more about Brooks and Dunn. I thought they already did a farewell tour. Like, well, now you know about that concert, and now you're probably going to have a better night with your lady because you got information. Also, if you don't like this segment, that's why we have it all on the podcast.
On the
podcast. You can go back and listen to how we talked about
Absolutely.
Bill Simmons and how we talked about A.J. DeBanza versus Darren Peterson or a Royals prospect pitcher. Guess you missed it all.
Yep.
75 says Mumford & Sons.
You're going to go see them, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm excited at Morton. That's they're in my.
I'm telling you, Morton's getting everything now.
Of course they are.
They're in like my top three of bands that I haven't seen live that I want to see. So
that guy that says, I guess it's slow sports day reminds me of this guy.
Hello, Dad. I got good news and I got bad news. Good news is mom's still alive. Bad news is she's sleeping with my boss, Raj, king of the slams.
That's right. Coming up next, it is Binkley and Cody and Drew. Arlene. So go do something nice for somebody today, like send them a goodbye text or a hi text and say, you know what, be you and be true, because you never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Stay kind. Stay groovy. And I need your guys' homework tomorrow. I need every measurement that Jay Binkley gives out on the show today. Every single measurement. Be great. Be awesome. Be you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Actually, Mac and I will talk to you tomorrow. Bob, enjoy your weekend.